there's an insert inside our order of service. Hallelujah. Palm Sunday indeed is a day of exuberant celebration, a day of high praise.
Yeah.
And the Bible tells us in our New Testament text for this, and on Palm Sundays over some 2,000 years ago, the disciples brought the donkey and the colt and placed their coats on them, and Jesus sat on them. And a very large crowd spread their coats on the road. Now, saved by spreading their coats on the road as Jesus was coming down the road on that donkey, it was their way of rolling out the red carpet.
Yeah.
We're taking off our coats and we're laying them on the ground.
Yeah.
That's our red carpet for you, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Others cut palm branches off the trees and laid them in the road. Those represented the red carpet. It goes on to say, the crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David.
Yes.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Hosanna in the highest.
Yes.
Now, saints, Hosanna literally means to save. Everybody say to save.
Yes.
Hosanna means to save. So to say Hosanna was to praise. Oh, Hosanna. Hosanna. Glory to God in the highest. Salvation in the highest. Hosanna to the King of Kings.
Yes.
How many know today that God deserves our praise?
Yes.
God deserves our praise, saints.
Yes.
We can just look out and we can see the daffodils and the crocuses and the grass and the trees are blooming. And we look at the sun, it's so beautiful. And we see the moon and all the vastness of the stars. And then we go to the lake out there, and it's so beautiful. We see the birds, and there's just so many evidences of the majestic power of our God. Hallelujah. The trees and even rocks. Scripture says rocks will scream forth the praise of God. Hallelujah. So touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, our mission is to praise. Our mission is to praise. Praise is what we've been called to do. Chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So saints, when we wave our hands in worship, it's a wave offering. Amen. And in a wave offering is we're just surrendering our all to you, Lord Jesus. For you're worthy of all praise, all glory and honor. I have a friend, and I'm still working with her, but she says, I'm not lifting my hands up in the air praising God. She says, because I believe God is everywhere. So God isn't just up here. God is down here too. So I'm not going to lift my hands up in the air. And I keep trying to tell her, it is a sign of a deep relationship, of a love that you have. It's an offering of full surrender. It's a praise, it's a wave offering unto the Lord. For the Lord Jesus is worthy. He's worthy of us waving a praise offering unto him. A full surrender of our life. A wave offering, hallelujah, of praise and adoration. Jesus is worthy of our praise. And Jesus is so worthy that scripture says if we do not praise God, the rocks will grow mouths and they will cry out praise. Hallelujah. But like the warriors of praise, I know ain't no rock gonna cry out in my place. How about you? Ain't no tree or way to pray. Amen. I'm gonna glorify my God. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
And I do believe, saints, that there are some today right here in our sanctuary now who can say amen, hallelujah, because you've seen God do some things in your life. Shout hallelujah. offering. That he's helped you with your children, with your grandchildren. Hallelujah. You need the Lord a wave offering. Oh, that he has taken you off drugs, you can give the Lord a wave offering today. I'm going to read just verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. Righteous, having salvation, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The saints at this time, in this Old Testament days, kings, when they would win a victory, wherever they went, they would come back and they would bring all the things that they had taken from those that they had defeated. And they would lay all that stuff out and they would come just with their heads off. Look what all I got. And they would just be so arrogant. Oh, look what I've done. But look at Jesus, saints. He doesn't do that with his power. He didn't display it in an arrogant manner. We look at both of our texts for today, and we can see the way in which Jesus entered Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. Now, how many know Jesus could have rode in on the wings of angels? That's how he could have come in. He didn't have to borrow a donkey. He could have come in on the wings of angels. How many know he could have come in a thunderstorm, riding a lightning bolt if he had wanted to? Oh, yes, he could have. He could have come in with fire all around him. Or he could have come on a war horse. Not a donkey, but a war horse. But scripture tells us Jesus rode in on a donkey. Why? Saints, it's because Jesus had an attitude. He had an attitude. Now, what is an attitude? An attitude, saints, is much more than an opinion. And it's much more than a mere feeling. An attitude is an opinion that is acted upon. All right.
That's right.
Now, for example, our attitudes can change. Now, I remember when I was a little girl growing up, I didn't like peas. And when my mother and grandmother put them on my plate, I had to study them and study them. And look at them and stir them around. I didn't like the way they looked, felt, or tasted. But now when I grew up and became an adult, something happened. I like frozen peas, canned peas, fresh peas. Something happened. I don't know what, but something happened. When I was little, I used to love root beer. Every day I went, have some root beer, root beer, root beer. I don't think I've had a root beer 20, 30 years. Something happened. I'm in this root beer. And something, you know what? Attitudes can change. They can change. Now, they shape our lives, and attitudes shape the society in which we live. Some are good, some are bad. But let's look at Jesus' attitude. Would you look at our note sheet? Philippians 2, 5 through 11. I'd like us to read those six verses together. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Together. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Amen.
So in this passage, we see the attitude of Jesus Christ. And the first one I want to point out is the attitude of Jesus Christ is a choice. Everybody say a choice.
A choice. Of all.
Yeah.
That was a huge change.
Yeah.
To come all the way down for us, that was a huge change.
Yeah.
Verse 7 continues, it tells us not only was Jesus God, but he also became a human being.
Yeah.
Verse 8 goes even further and explains that this Emmanuel, God with us, died on a torture device known as the cross.
Yeah.
He chose to die on the cross.
Uh-huh.
He chose to be a servant. He chose life of need in order to provide for you and for me. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now, the attitude of Jesus Christ. Verse 7 tells us Jesus was taking the very nature of a servant. What does that mean, saints? What is Jesus' attitude? It is the attitude of a servant. Now, what is a servant? Everybody say, available.
Available.
When I think of a servant, I think of someone who is available. What good is a butler if he never goes to the door and answers it? What good is a housekeeper if she only shows up for he every other month? So a definition of servant is available. Amen. A servant is someone who makes themselves available to those around them. Now, this doesn't usually sit very well with most of us because we think we're the most important person in our lives. Amen.
Yeah.
Yet, our attitude should be that of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Who was a servant.
Yeah.
And also it tells us he was humble. Verse 8 says that Jesus humbled himself.
Yeah.
Verses 1 through 4 of Philippians 2 describe being humble and putting others before yourself. That is what a servant does. A servant humbly puts the needs of others before themselves. A servant is humble. Now, another attitude of Jesus we see in our text is the attitude of Jesus Christ is costly. Everybody say costly.
Costly.
All right, saints, have you ever thought about what if for one day Jesus were to become you? All right. What if for 24 hours, Jesus wakes up in your bed, Jesus starts walking in your shoes, Jesus lives in your house, Jesus assumes your schedule, your boss becomes Jesus' boss, your mother becomes his mother, your father his father, and with one exception, nothing about your life changes. Your health doesn't change, your circumstances don't change, your schedule doesn't change, your problems aren't solved. Only one change occurs, and that is Jesus lives your life with his heart. His heart. All right, your heart gets a day off. Let it go rest, and his heart takes over. All right, his heart is leading your life. His priorities are governing your actions. Jesus' passions are governing your decisions. His love is directing your behavior. Imagine that. Imagine what would like? What would you be like? Do you think people would notice a change? Do you think your spouse would notice a change? You think your children would notice, or your parents would notice a change? You think your co-workers would notice a change? You think they think, wow, he must have got fired. She must have got fired. This is somebody new. Would they think that? If Jesus' heart came to work in your body, that this is somebody we're not used to. Oh, what about your friends? Would they notice a difference? Would they notice more joy? Good morning. How y'all doing? Hey. All right. What about your enemies? Would they receive more grace and mercy from Christ's heart than from yours? And what about you? How would you feel with Christ's heart in you? Would you worry less? Would you sleep better? Would you have a stress level that went down? Would you be able to have your temper control? Some of us, we are just hot. I mean, we ready to just knock somebody's gut off in a second. Would you sleep better if you had Jesus' heart? Oh, would you stop dreading whatever it is you're dreading in your life? Would that stop? Better than that, would you still do what you're doing if Jesus had your heart? But would a lot of things stop that you're doing if Jesus really took over your body with his heart? Oh, praise God's sake. What if for one day and one night Jesus lived in your life with his heart? Can you see what your life might look like with Jesus leading your life? That picture you see with Jesus leading your life is what God wants for all of us. Thank you, Lord. The word says we are to think, we are to act like Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Another passage says to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Friends, God's plan for you and for me is nothing short of a new heart. Hallelujah. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, God wants you to have a new heart. A new heart. A new heart. A new heart. Now, if you were a car, God would control your engine. He would come in and take control of your engine. If you were a computer, God would claim your software, and then he would go and get your hard drive. Amen. Now, if you were an airplane, he would take the seat of the pilot. He would go in that cockpit, and that's where God would sit. Now, if he what else could we have? If he was a bus driver, amen, he would be up in the front. Praise God. But guess what? You're a person. Touch your name and say, you're a person. So God wants your heart. God wants your heart. Hallelujah. God wants your heart. Listen to the word. But you were taught to be made new in your hearts. To become a new person. And that new person is to be like God. To be made truly holy.
That's it.
Good. And holy. Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. My dear friend, God loves you just the way you are. Isn't that wonderful to know? Just as we are, God loves us. But God loves us too much to leave us to be the same. Thank you, Lord, for not letting me stay the same. Praise your name, Lord. He refuses to leave you that way. God wants you to be just like Jesus. Praise God. And it's good to know that God's love never stops. Just have your name say, God's love never stops. It never stops. Never. We may turn our backs on God. We may reject God. We may say, I'm not listening. Oh, 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 oh. I'm not listening. Oh, 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 oh. We might despise God. We might disobey God. Thanks. But God will never change.
Come on now.
Our evil cannot diminish God's love for us. Thank you, Lord. And neither our goodness cannot increase God's love for us. Our faith does not earn God's love any more than our stupidity jeopardizes it. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
God doesn't love us less if we fail. God doesn't love us more if we succeed. God's love for us never stops. Never stops. Well, so just give yourself a hug. Go and say, oh, thank you, Lord. Your love for me, it never stops. Thank you, Lord. Thank your love for me never stops. Oh, thank you, Lord. I thank you. Says, I got something better for you. I got something better for you. I got something better for you. Hallelujah! I got something better for you. Thank you, Lord. And so God comes in for something better. And God cleanses us of the filth and of anything that's not of God. God takes that dishonesty out of us and immorality. God just strips it out. We got the prejudice. God gets that out.
Yes.
Bitterness. God gets that out. Unforgiveness. God gets that out. Hallelujah. Now, we don't enjoy the cleansing. You know, we don't like it. Hallelujah. Sometimes, saints, yes, we do. Yes, we do. We even opt for the dirt over the cleansing. We tell God, I'd rather eat dirt than eat ice cream you can try to give me. I'd rather eat dirt. Saints, don't try to deny it. There's been times when all of us just said, I'm going to eat dirt. I'm going to eat dirt rather than the ice cream. But you know what? If we choose to refuse God's transforming, cleansing, and shaping power, it's our loss. Oh, it's our loss. It's the loss of those that we love. It's the loss of those who we could have made a difference in. Hallelujah. But God has a better offer. God comes to us and says, I want you to be like Jesus. I want you to know that this is really, really good news for us today. How many know that God's work is always good news for us? Hallelujah. It's always good news. So whatever your personality is today, whatever it is, praise God, you're not stuck with it. Amen. Amen. You ain't stuck with your personality today. You know what? Praise God, you may be a grouch. You might get angry quick, jealous quick, be prideful. You know what? But you don't have to be that way for the rest of your life. Because guess what? We're all tweakable. Amen. God can tweak us and keep tweaking, 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 tweaking. Try your neighbor and say, you are tweakable. Maybe be a racist or a kleptomaniac or, I don't know, anything can think of if it's not of God, a sexist, bigot. You don't have to die those things. You do not have to die those things. So who gives the change anyway? Where did the famous statement say, well, it's just my nature to get upset quick because my daddy and my grandmammy and my great-grandmammy, they got something I had wanted from my mom, and she said no. And so she said, I laid down on the floor, and I started going like this. And so she says, what she did, she was shocked because she had never seen such a thing. And so she decided, she just stepped over me and kept walking. And when she kept walking, I sat up and I looked like, well, where are you going? To come in there and take Right today. It's as simple as just praying, Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. I'm so sorry, oh God. But Lord, I want to give you